And now, Backstage Wife, the story of Mary Noble and what it means to be the wife of a famous star. After a desperate struggle with her own peace of mind, Mary Noble has finally dashed out of her hotel just off Broadway in New York and is hurrying toward the Pennsylvania station, where she's half hoping, half dreading to find a man named Victor, a thoroughly despicable character who has long worked for wealthy Rupert Barlow and who has told Mary he has important information he can give her relating to her husband Larry in his trial for the murder of Oliver Wilson. On this off chance, Mary is now leading her taxi down the long tunnel at the Pennsylvania station. And as she hurries into the crowded building, she thinks...
I've got to find the waiting room. I think it's over on this side. Oh, yes, there's the sign. But it's so late, he won't be here. I just know he won't. And probably that's just as well. Friend Maud Marlow warned me not to come here, not to have anything to do with Victor. She said it would be just another trick. But it's possible he does know something about that awful night Oliver Wilson was murdered. He was backstage at the theater. And if he could say anything to shift the blame from Larry... The station is such a big place. How can I possibly tell if Victor is here? I'd better walk all through this waiting room from one door to another.
But as Mary searches frantically for the sinister face of Victor, we find him leaving the station through the front, taking the escalator up and into the long corridor leading to 7th Avenue. I'm thinking...
So Mary Noble didn't have the nerve to meet me. I thought she'd come when I said that about helping her husband. She's always acted like she was nuts about the guy. And I guess she's just another dame with her eye on a big chance. Yeah. Maybe she thinks she can hook Mr. Barlow. Maybe she thinks she can be Mrs. Rupert Barlow. Yeah, fat chance. Better take a look at Miss Judith Dixon. She's been hanging on more than 10 years, keeping house warm, waiting on him hand and foot. Where's it got her? Where's it got me either, when you stop to think about it? After all the things I've done for the boss, all the tight spots I got him out of, what happens? He up and fires me just like that. Well, sure, he makes like it's only a gag, so he won't look so tough to Mrs. Noble. But she got sore about those pictures of her and her boss in the paper. He wants me to be the goat. Say it's all my idea. Well, I'm through being a stooge. From now on, I'm going to be plenty tough. And everybody can look out. Hey! Hey, you taxi! Come here!
Victor gets into a taxi and slams the door, and neither he nor Mary Noble realize how close they were a bare minute ago. After searching in vain, Mary gives up. And now, a short time later, she presents herself at the New York City jail. Larry is brought to meet her in the all-too-familiar visiting room. As he enters, his voice is warm and eager, and we hear...
Hello, sweetheart. I didn't expect you to show up on such a horrible day.
Oh, you knew I wouldn't miss a chance of being with you, darling.
At ease. You can be yourself now.
That's just what I was trying to be, Larry.
You don't have to put on an act to fool me. It's a little late for that. Not that I don't appreciate your stringing along until after my trial, Mary. Instead of turning me down publicly, as you might have done.
How can you say such a thing? You can't possibly believe I'd ever do that, Larry, or ever want to do it.
Let's not go into what you or I believe. I think we both know the truth pretty well by now. So it's better if we just keep away from the subject.
All right, Larry, I'll do whatever you say. You know that.
Oh, sure, I know that. You wouldn't go against my slightest wish, would you? Particularly not when it concerned the financial backer of my last play, Rupert Barlow.
You're determined to think the worst about me, Larry. It's no good telling you that I've never loved or been interested in Rupert except as a friend. And as someone to help us through this terrible trouble while you're awaiting your trial.
Now look, Mary. You can't sell me the idea of Rupert Barlow being a gallant knight on a white charger. I know better than that. But if his wealth and social position have dazzled you into accepting him at his own valuation... That's your lookout.
It isn't true, Larry. There's never been any question of that in my mind. I've never for a moment wanted to think of anyone except you. The only reason I've accepted help from Rupert is because I thought it would be to your advantage. When he persuaded Clarence Brewster to take charge of your defense, I accepted. Because Brewster's supposed to be the most brilliant trial lawyer in the East.
Yes, I know. And when you were seen with Rupert in nightclubs and all over town, after you promised you wouldn't see him again, that was only to help me too, I suppose. And when you accepted an emerald bracelet from Rupert, with a sentimental card. That was to help me, too. You were going to pawn it, no doubt, and help pay for my new lawyer, Hubert Savage.
I didn't accept the bracelet. I wouldn't dream of it. Rupert had no right to send it to me. Larry, I told him so. And I haven't seen him since. What's more, I don't mean to see him again. Can't you understand that, Larry? Can't you even try to believe in me?
Save it, Mary. Save it for the outside world. It's too good an act to waste on me when we're all alone. My lawyer thinks it's great to put on this show of devotion to the outside world. He says it's the strongest thing I can do right now before my trial starts. And as I said before, I appreciate your willingness to help out, even though you'd better explain the facts to Rupert. He might not like this sudden surge of wifely concern.
I don't think you'd better say any more, Larry.
I'm sorry, Mary. It was a little rough. But suppose we keep away from personal topics. It's important to have you go on visiting me regularly, according to Hubert Savage. And if he's going to handle my trial, I'd better accept his judgment. I certainly never expected to play a part like this. It just goes to show that you never can tell.
Darling, what makes you so terribly sure that I've betrayed you?
If you mean that I have only circumstantial evidence, such as pictures in the paper and love notes and expensive presents, let me remind you that I haven't been in a position to check on the facts. My time has not been my own, if you remember.
All right, Larry. I promise I won't say any more.
Thanks, Mary. At least let's get through this mess with as much dignity as we can. If it weren't so terribly serious, a matter of actual life and death to me, I wouldn't subject you to this bitter farce. But I have no choice. You see, I mean to fight for my acquittal. I have a very good reason to want to be free.
Of course you have.
And I believe that Claudia Vincent will strengthen my case a great deal.
I hope so, Larry.
It's good that she's going to take the stand on my behalf.
Yes, I expect it is.
And I hope you'll try to hide your dislike for her.
I promise I will.
It's very important, since there's been so much talk about my infatuation for Claudia. And since the prosecution bases its whole case on that premise, they think they can prove that I killed Oliver Wilson in a fit of jealous rage because I found out he was secretly married to Claudia.
Do you think Claudia can help you disprove that point?
Well, of course she can, Mary. And she will. Even though she's had the devil's own time of it since I was arrested.
Why has it been so hard on Claudia? Seems to me she's been very fortunate not to have been suspected of the crime. She had more reason to kill Oliver Wilson than you did.
Oh, for heaven's sake, Mary, don't let anyone hear you say that. It'll make people believe you're jealous of Claudia Vincent.
I am, Larry.
Oh, nonsense. There's never been the slightest reason for that, and we both know it. You can't use Claudia as an excuse to justify your own behavior with Rupert Barlow. At least you can't use it with me.
I think perhaps I'd better go now, Larry. If you think it'll look all right.
Of course. There's no reason to carry this act too far.
Goodbye, dear. Till tomorrow.
Goodbye.
I'm leaving now, God, if you'll open the outer door.
Sometime later, Mary's back in her hotel room, alone and desolate, feeling that everything in her life is hopeless. For some minutes, she's been lying face down on her bed, racked by sobs. And then...
Just a minute. Hello?
Hello, Mrs. Noble. So you didn't meet me after all at Pennsylvania Station.
Victor.
Yeah, it's Victor, all right. I offered to help you out because I thought you'd be interested. But I see now you don't want to help your guy out as much as you say, so it's okay. Just remember I tried. Remember I offered to help.
Victor, wait.
Wait, huh? It's a good one. I waited 3/4 of an hour already right there in the station.
I couldn't get there on time. I did get there finally, but you'd already gone.
Maloney, don't give me that, Mrs. Noble. You didn't show. Okay, it's your move now. Maybe you want your husband to get the hot seat after all.
Victor, where are you now?
What's it to you?
I'll meet you. I want to talk to you. Can we go to the station waiting room right away? Will you meet me there in 10 minutes?
Why should I? You had your chance. I waited plenty long already, Mrs. Noble.
But I swear I'll be there in 10 minutes. I couldn't help it the last time. Please say you'll meet me.
Well... All right, I'm a sap to do it, but okay. If you don't play any cute tricks, this time you better show. You're going to be plenty sorry.
Mary Noble assures the man Victor she'll be there and hurries to wash her face and leave once more for the station. We'll be sure to be listening tomorrow to Backstage Wife, the story of Mary Noble and her husband Larry Noble, famous Broadway star.